How does it feel today, having won that fight at the weekend?
Oh, fantastic. Massive amount of pressure on us for that one, mate, to be honest. Sky pay-per-view just takes it to another level. You know, people don't want to pay for pay-per-view, so you're under the spotlight straight away. And then the amount of filming, you've got cameras around you all the time, the amount of press, the amount of appearances, it's just a lot of pressure on the fighters. And fighters that, you know, it's for fighters to make the real money in boxing, then yes, they want to be pay-per-view fighters. But once they get there, they all say the same thing, because, you know, they didn't realise how much pressure they put on them. And that's something that, you know, that they have to get used to. But the first time around, it's always something that surprises them and adds to all the stress and worry of a fight, really. And when their job really, essentially, is they want to go in there and fight.
I suppose there was also the pressure of the consequence for the loser, particularly if it was Tony as well. If he'd lost twice to Nathan Cleverley, that would have been a big issue for him, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Because the thing is, that was very, very personal. I mean, everybody understands how personal it was. And listen, it wasn't a hype job. It is personal. And, you know, he was true to his word afterwards. There was no embrace, although there was respect given. And Tony said that. He said, you know, I'm not going to be two-faced and give him a nug and a cuddle. Because he still doesn't like the man, but yes, he's got respect for him now. So if he were to lose to Cleverley in that one, that would have been absolutely heartbreaking for him, which again added to the pressure for him and for myself as well, because I know what it meant to Tony. So we're absolutely over the moon to have beaten him and got him out of the way.
What did you make of the scoring and the split decision?
I couldn't believe it was a split decision. It was. I don't know. You can't really say too much about these judges sometimes. I mean, the thing is, my job in the corner is to keep Tony on it and keep pushing him. And I think before the last round, I wanted him to put his foot down and keep on top of Cleverley, not give him a window back. And I remember the last time when he fought Cleverley, I think he took his foot off the gas down the stretch, and in fact, the last round, and I think that's what cost him. And I said to him in the corner, you know, don't let this be close and you know, don't give this last round away. Now, I'm really, really glad looking back on it that I did push him in that last round, because if I'd have said, don't do anything silly, just see the round out, and if he'd have lost that last round, if he'd have lost that round on Howard Foster's card, then that would have turned from a two-point advantage on Howard's card, and then he'd have scored it a draw. And then the fight would have been a draw, because you would have got one judge giving it to Tony, one judge giving it to Cleverley, and the third judge giving it a draw. So if we'd have lost the last round, that fight would have been a draw, and it would have been absolutely devastating. So, you know, it's worked out all good in the end, and we got the win, but it's a bit scary when decisions are coming out like that.
It's a good job all round, isn't it? Because I don't think the sport would have handled that situation particularly well if what looked like a very comfortable win for Tony Bellew ended up as a draw or worse.
Yeah, it's never when they get it as wrong as that. Listen, in a close fight, fights can go either way. So you can't really call them a robbery when it's a close fight. But when it's not, then, you know, to see the decisions that sometimes get bandied about, and it's not very good for sport at all.
You've been annoyed by some of the reaction to the fight, haven't you?
Yeah, some of it. Listen, I totally understand that. The thing is, when a fight's being put as pay-per-view, it more is expected from the fighters. But the thing is, fighters can only go in there and do what they were going to do, whether it's pay-per-view or not. You know, they're getting hit, and somebody's in there stopping them from trying to hit them. It takes two to make a great fight, and you know, one man's in there that was showing a lot of heart but not showing a lot of conviction in trying to win the fight. A lot of heart staying in there, but it made it a more difficult fight, and you know, Tony was trying to win the fight. He was trying to get the knockout and he was trying to go for it, and he was the one that was throwing all the punches. The thing is, if you compare it with Frotchgrove 2 as well, to be honest, that wasn't a great fight. That wasn't as good as the first fight. It's just that Carl got the knockout and turned it on its head, and that was kind of like forgiven. because of the Wembley event. But if you compare both fights, you actually watch the fight without the commentary and just watch the fight, it's not that bad a fight. The first couple of rounds are nice and sharp. And then there's a lull, I think, rounds 6, 7, 8 or 5. Yeah, 6, 7, 8, I think it was. And then the last quarter of the fight, you know, the Americans that I've spoken to loved the last quarter of the fight because, you know, they were stood there on the inside, they caught, you know, inside fighting, and Tony's inside work was really good. Maybe he could have took a little step back to give him a little bit more room and turn his hips in, but the body shots, he's not got the credit for what for the work that he put in. It was him that took the legs away from Cleverley from the body shots early doors, and then he got him there and it was pinning him down. But when somebody's in there just intent on surviving with their hands up, it's very, very hard to close a show. I mean, plenty of prospects, lightning prospects that are expected to blow everybody out, they find a journeyman in there that just has their hands up and just thinks about defence, and they can't get them out there. And they all said the same thing. You know, if somebody's opening up, they leave gaps so that they can exploit. Well, Cleverley wasn't opening up, so it made it a lot harder for Tony to get his shots off.
One of the things that I said to somebody at the weekend, Dave, was that Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi played each other at Old Trafford not so long ago. They played one half and it finished 0-0. I mean, you can put the best two football players on a pitch and it can be goalless at half-time. You can put two boxers out there and despite all of the hype, it can be a close fight. It can be a tough fight.
Do you know, that's exactly it. I think I said that to somebody the other day. You know, you can have an highly anticipated football match, you know, Man United versus Liverpool, or big, like you say, Real Madrid, Barcelona, you know, and sometimes it can be a cracker and sometimes it's just a stinker and you're there and you're just really, really disappointed and it's a 0-0, you know. But people are paying absolute fortune for these football games, but then they come back the next week, they're not, you know, it doesn't put them off and it doesn't get a massive outcry. But with boxing, where it is a very, very hard sport, you know, like I said, you ain't got 10 teammates. There's two guys in there on their own swapping bombs and getting punched in the face. You know, yes, that's what they do for a living, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that it's any easier when one guy's not letting you to carry out your game plan. You know, let's not forget, before this fight, many, many people were tipping Cleverley to beat Tony. You know, the fact that he beat him, you know, it's kind of like some people, they discredit it straight away. You know, I do believe that if it wasn't pay-per-view, there wouldn't have been as many people that have slagged it off, because it wasn't that bad a fight. It was, but it was just disappointing, because when you're paying pay-per-view, you automatically want a better fight because you are paying money out for it, you know. But that I understand that. I totally get that, and I understand that from the fans' point of view. But that's not the fighter's fault, you know. Like I said, no boxer says, I want it. Well, no British boxer will say, I want this to be pay-per-view. You know, they just want the fight. They want the fight. They want the opportunity. And they, you know, and that's what they do. They get in there and they fight. It makes, you know, it makes the pressure totally, totally more intense once it becomes pay-per-view. And that, again, they're only human. With that as well, the pressure, the build-up, the hype, everything, that as well, you know, can have an effect on a fighter. And all of a sudden, mentally, you're just drained and you get in there and, you know, you get those days. Like you say, you know, sometimes Ronaldo, Rooney, players like that, they get on a pitch and much is expected of them and you hardly notice them on the pitch. But they've got 10 other men to hide behind. When there's 1v1 in a ring, you know, there's nowhere to hide and they're under the spotlight.
Constantly in the lead-up to the fight, Nathan Cleverley's athletic qualities were highlighted. And one of the things people said was that he's going to end, if he gets to the later rounds, he'll enjoy it. But he was the one who was looking pretty exhausted at the end, wasn't he?
Yeah, and this is the thing, is that we, you know, the whole through training, you know, I worked with Tony and saying to him, listen, everyone's expecting, or Cleverley's expecting power. He's not expecting the work rate. And we set out the things that we were doing in training. You know, we set out on work rate as well as you know, Tony's got the power anyway, but as well as, I mean, he didn't show much of the speed that he was showing in training or in sparring. It was, like I said, it was different on fight night. It wasn't quite as intent on that. He was desperate to knock him out, and you know, although he didn't go out like a lunatic, it did load up more in the early rounds and stiffen himself rather than being sharper. But the work rate side of things that we were doing in training to counteract Cleverley, to match Cleverley, this is what played into the fight. And we were saying, you know, early doors, whack him around the body, take away his legs, take away that great engine. And that's what he did, you know. So it wasn't a surprise to me that he was fitter or you know, well, fitter than Cleverly and more active than Cleverly down the stretch, because that's what we'd worked for and that's what I expected.
What's next for Tony?
Well, immediately, Hollywood. But then after that, we're looking at possibly Marco Hook. Could even be Lebedev. We're just having a look at that now. But he's on the verge of a world title shot now.
And Jamie McDonnell also won at the weekend. So is it Vegas on the cards for him now?
Well, it is. That's done. Vegas, March time. So we're just waiting for an actual date. So once we get the date through, then there'll be all, you know, the full throttle preparation there. But he's gonna keep ticking over. He's having a bit of time off. I think he might have a little holiday, and then he'll be back in the gym and ticking over just to prepare for that, because that's an absolutely huge fight for him. You know, it's a unification out in Vegas. It's just massive, and it's something that's gonna change his life. You know, and should he pull it off, then you know, the sky's the limit.
This is the big opportunity that he's been waiting for, isn't it?
Yeah. He's done fantastically well winning these world titles already. But the thing is about Jamie, he's not satisfied in just sitting back and having defences and banking title money defences. He wants to go out there and collect belts, and he wants Kameda as a unification, and then he's already said that should he get that belt, then he'd like to get a Caballero's belt as well. And then after that, then, you know, you're looking at him stepping up a division into the super bantamweight mix. So, you know, he's got ambitions, and it's not just to sit back and think, do you know what, I'm a lad from Donny, you know, I've got two world title belts already, I've cracked it. He's not that like that at all, not at all.